backpack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Thursday, September 26th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Week 4 is here, man. And let's talk about some of the latest injury stuff around the NFL today on the podcast and briefly touch on some of the stuff that I saw from coverage last week in the NFL for you DFS heads out there. Just a friendly reminder, on Wednesdays, I do the FTN Fantasy Football podcast. So if you're not subscribed to that, you miss one show a week from me. Maybe that's by design, but if you want to get that extra show, make sure you're subscribing there. And in fact, yesterday on that podcast, I talked a little bit about what happened with Trey McBride yesterday. And honestly, it still pisses me off. It still pisses me off the way that that was actually put out there, the information, because it was put out like Trey McBride, breaking news, is still in concussion protocol. And it's like, no crap, ding dong. Of course he's still in concussion protocol. That takes usually 5 to 6 days to clear. Duh, this is not news. And it was really damaging because a lot of people out there assumed because he was in protocol, therefore he's out. And that's not true. Now, he may not play. I don't have a Thursday practice report from that game yet. Maybe it happens while we're on this podcast, but what I'm looking for is limited practice. If he gets to limited, then he's trending in the right direction. If he's DNP on back-to-back days in concussion protocol, then he's almost certainly not going to play. Not 100% guaranteed, but very unlikely. That applies for other people as well. Like, that applies to Devontae Smith today. Don't have a Philly practice report yet either, but if he goes back-to-back DNP, I would not expect him. I ultimately don't expect him to play. I don't know what to expect from McBride. It didn't look too severe, but concussions are always weird. Either way, be careful about how you process the news. And honestly, it's not your fault. It's the news should have been presented with more context. Concussion protocol is a 5-step process that ultimately the final 2 steps, you need a limited and a full practice in order to clear. And that doesn't happen until Friday. Now, every so often you will see a guy enter protocol, like say on a Sunday, but then they realize that, you know, it was more precautionary and actually isn't a concussion and they exit protocol quickly. That's not the case. Like, this is a concussion for McBride. Sometimes it's a 5 or 6 day thing. Sometimes it's a multi-week thing. You never quite know. But like with anything with fantasy football, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Want to rip through some of these other injuries. And just a reminder, in most instances, a limited for the first practice of the week is not actually a big deal. Now, there is one notable example where we saw limited turn into a complete DNP on Thursday because I did get at least some practice reports here. But for the most part, just keep that in mind. Like, limited actually is good, usually not bad. So don't freak out if these guys pop up with limited. And some of those names who I'm talking about here, like Marvin Harrison Jr., Jamar Chase, Godwin, Evans, Jaden Reed, these guys are all limited. You know, that's not a bad thing. Like, you're going to get banged up during the course of the season, and it doesn't mean you're not going to play. You know, it does mean maybe you get a little bit of rest during practice, but that's it. Okay. The players who definitely look much more up in the air. I mentioned Devontae Smith. AJ Brown is another one. I don't expect him to play because the Eagles have their bye week next week. So it would make sense to just rest him straight on through. Dallas Goedert is the primary beneficiary there. Nobody else. I wouldn't get too cute with like Jahan Dotson, for example. Hey, if Dotson catches a touchdown, awesome. But I don't want that dude in my starting lineup. I'll be honest with you here. Tank Dell. I don't have Thursday yet, but he is banged up. He got popped last week with a ribs issue, also has a wrist issue. Now, I will say this. Ribs tend to be pain tolerance. Not in every instance, but it's very different from, say, a hamstring. If you see him pop up with a hamstring, go DNP, DNP, they're probably not going to play. Like, the third practice is likely going to be a DNP, right? Hamstring is not pain tolerance. Ribs is pain tolerance in a lot of instances. So can you actually play through it? Not everybody's going to, you know, the severity of the pain may be different depending on the player, the injury, et cetera. But I am also looking at Alvin Kamara for that, you know, same exact thing. He went DNP. It's ribs and hip. I would just, you know, ribs is the first one listed. So usually that's the bigger injury. And, you know, it comes down to pain tolerance. So, you know, really with Dell and Kamara, we're going to have to see where they are after Friday practice. If it's DNP three in a row, that's good sign that they're probably not playing. If it goes DNP, DNP limited, and they're listed as questionable, they're usually on the right side of questionable. So we'll see what ends up happening with those guys. It really is a nice spot for Tank Dell, but we just have to wait and see. Moving over to Joe Mixon, not practicing, not expected to play. Damian Pierce, not practicing, but as of now is expected to play. So Damian Pierce, I think, offers a little bit more than Cam Akers, but the problem is I don't think he's going to be guaranteed a feature workload. So the best advice this weekend, if Pierce does play, is to just avoid the Texans' backfield if you can. If he doesn't play, then yeah, we'll get another week of lackluster Cam Akers flex value. It's just not super exciting. We're wait and see mode on Jerome Ford to see if he can practice this week. He did not practice yesterday. If he doesn't go, and this was a little bit of a surprise, if he doesn't go, yeah, Deontay Foreman will slide up probably flex territory, but I'm not going to get too out of control with him. It's just he will have a good opportunity given that Pierre Strong is also banged up and he's not expected to play as of right now. So it would be a good opportunity there for Foreman. The challenge, they're just not running the football a lot because they can't sustain a lot of drives given Deshaun Watson's play so far. I mean, it was a little better, but he took a lot of sacks this past week. He took 8 of them. All right, let me get to the one that I actually do have a practice report today, and it's not good. And it's a guy who a lot of people just picked up. It's Bucky Irving. Okay, so Bucky Irving went limited yesterday and today did not practice. It's a hamstring issue. Sound familiar? Like I was just talking about here. And this is not a good thing. That practice pattern is an ugly one. Now, it doesn't mean he can't play. You know, any of these dudes can play until they're ruled out. But it's an ugly practice pattern. Limited to DNP is a midweek downgrade. And it means typically one of two things. Either the injury was worse than anticipated on coming from Wednesday into Thursday. Like he went out there Wednesday, did get limited work in, but it was really just not good. Or he suffered the injury in practice. It's hard to tell which is which. I really can't necessarily, I'm not going to speculate because I don't know. But it's usually one of those two things. Well, this was the week where we thought we were going to see more of him. If he doesn't play, then it's just a ton of Rashad White because Sean Tucker isn't going to threaten White's role on the ground in the same way that Irving has. So be aware of that. If, you know, again, plan for the worst, hope for the best. I don't think anybody out there was really expecting anything more than flex value for Bucky Irving this week. But if you were, that's where we are on that front. Not the best news. Decent news at tight end where George Kittle looks like he's trending towards getting back. We'll see what he does the remainder of the week, but did get limited practice in. So I would expect him, but not Debo, to play. As far as some of the other tight ends, I mean, Evan Engram and David Njoku are still banged up. Don't expect them this week. Another question I'm getting is, will Jordan Love play this week? I honestly don't know because he could go limited all week and not play. Like that very well could happen because he started the week limited yesterday. He could go limited in all three practices and not play. So it's kind of like stay tuned. If you're rostering Love, you know, hang tight. If you are rostering pieces of the Packers wide receivers and you want them upgrade, because obviously like Malik Willis is just not going to throw the ball a lot. He's done a nice job and I want to give credit where credit's due, but what are we expecting? 15 to 20 passing attempts, not 30 to 40. And so it's going to be really hard for those Packers wideouts to offer much fantasy value in the meantime. Checking here, scanning the news. I mean, Russell Wilson is still banged up, but I think that the ship has sailed, unfortunately, on him, where I don't think he gets the job back. As long as Fields is doing what the coaches are asking, and he's done a nice job on that front for the first 3 weeks of the season, there's no reason to make a change. So we're at, you know, streamer territory in one quarterback leagues with Justin Fields, which is not bad. I didn't know if we were going to get there. after last week, a little bit encouraging. It's not the rushing touchdown or anything like that. It's the fact that he actually threw the ball a little bit more. And I don't think we're ever going to be at 50 passing attempts or anything like that out of him in this offense with those weapons especially. But could we be in this like 30 to 35 range with 6 to 10 rushing attempts? Yes. And if he does that, it's very likely fringe quarterback one with potentially any given week elite upside depending on what he does with his legs, right? If Justin Fields goes out and let's say he throws for 200 yards and a passing score and then runs for 80 and a touchdown, you're talking a borderline elite week, right? So I think that's where we are with him. Let me get to this stuff about Roschon Johnson. So Jeremy Fowler reported this morning that Roschon Johnson could potentially get an extended look this week. Fowler saying Chicago has struggled mightily to run the ball and turned to Johnson more of a bruiser for 8 carries in week 3 versus the Colts. The Bears need to get downhill faster. Well, they do indeed. And it does seem like, at least from that vantage point or that approach, DeAndre Swift is not the right answer. I know it. You know it. My 90-year-old grandmom knows it. Like we all know this. What is DeAndre Swift good at? Well, I would say your best bet with DeAndre Swift is to use him as a satellite back, get him in space, usually via the passing game, and then let him use his explosive ability. He's not a between the tackles grinder, and he never really has been a between the tackles grinder. Get him into positions where he can have success doing what he does best. Roschon Johnson, on the other hand, is a much bigger back. You know, he offers the size profile to run between the tackles, which is a good thing. And this makes some sense. You know, they have to generate some plays on the ground to sustain some of these drives. You don't want Caleb Williams, as much as we might want him throwing 50 plus times, you don't want him throwing 50 plus times if you're the Chicago Bears. And part of the way that you facilitate that is with a decent ground game. Now, what does that mean for you? Does that mean run out and pick him up and drop whoever? Well, no, not necessarily. Like, take an honest look at your roster, because what I'll notice a lot of fantasy players will do is they will only see the add and not really worry about the drop, but you may not have a drop. And that's especially true if your ratios are getting wonky here. I'm noticing a lot of folks are rostering a lot of running backs and not a lot of wide receivers. Like if you have more running backs than wideouts, you're starting more wideouts than running backs. So that's sort of bass-ackward for you right there, especially given the fact that next week starts byes. And if you don't have that depth to sustain you through buys, especially a wide receiver, you're going to have some problems. So I would not be running out there and dropping wide receiver depth for a running back who may or may not be anything. If you have these implied value guys who, honestly, I really don't like rostering, you know, I keep mentioning Blake Corum, but there are a lot of examples of implied value guys. Like Emmanuel Wilson, like there's only one reason I'm rostering him right now, and it's if I have Josh Jacobs. That's it. And that doesn't mean I have to roster him if I have Josh Jacobs, but that's the only reason why I'd be rostering him. Otherwise, Emmanuel Wilson doesn't start in fantasy. He's not starting in fantasy. So there's no value to him. Like, yes, you could try and catch lightning in a bottle, but if you're that type of player, then I bet you're the type of player who continually just drops and drops and adds the implied value guys. Like you move from Emmanuel Wilson onto the next one, onto the next one, onto the next one, and none of those guys are startable. And sure, maybe you backdoor your way into the right guy the right week, but really you're just playing the slot machine here. Like that's all you're doing. And I'm not a casino person in general, but I am definitely not a slot machine person. Like I'd have more entertainment from going out in my driveway and lighting my money on fire than I would by playing slot machines. Maybe that's you, but I don't enjoy it. So having one of those guys, yeah. Like if I have an implied value guy and I can pick up Roschon, who may have flex value this week, not quite there yet, but he's like on the fringe of flex territory, then fine. Now I have been asked, would you drop DeAndre Swift for him? That's a little bit more challenging because this is a report from Jeremy Fowler, and Jeremy's really plugged in and does a nice job, but just because it's a report doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. So that's a bit aggressive for me. I realize DeAndre Swift has not worked out so far, but maybe if they start using him the right way and maybe if the offense starts humming a little bit more, you know, things can change. So I don't know if I would go that far. Like, he's not quite in Jaylen Warren territory because he's not banged up like Jaylen Warren, but I feel like a lot of those types of guys have yet to hit this season, like the more of the passing down. And I think Swift is better suited to being a passing down guy. So that, like, him or Chase Brown or somebody like that, but there still is intrigue there. Like, there's still intrigue with Chase Brown. There, if healthy, is intrigue with Jaylen Warren. Obviously that's not the case right now, but I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to take a long look at my roster. And am I doing this just for the sake of doing it, or am I doing it because I do truly think Roshan is going to take over in the backfield and he will be a starter for me? Like, everything has to have an intention. Everything has to have a reason when you go out and do this stuff. Don't just do it willy-nilly. And ultimately, you know, I know that a lot of people want me to answer those questions for them. I can't do that fully for you because I don't know every single situation. So what I will tell you is this. Roshan Johnson last week was used more. Wasn't used a ton, but was used more. Does he fit better as an early down guy? Yes. But the problem is that this offense still needs to be able to move the ball effectively, because really, as an early down guy, where is Johnson's value going to come? It's going to come from scoring touchdowns. Like, sort of like Zach Moss right now for Cincinnati. They have to move the ball more effectively to get there. So at best, in the short term, we're really only looking at a flex option, if that helps. I know that's not what everybody's looking for, but again, that's my honest evaluation of this situation. Okay, let me move over to some wide receiver stuff. So not as many shadow situations last week as we had in previous weeks, but a couple interesting ones. So let's start with Pittsburgh. They did shadow with Joey Porter. That's not a surprise, but they did shadow Quentin Johnston. So he scored the touchdown, but he was generally quiet. I think we now know why. It was partially Joey Porter. It was partially the quarterback situation. 82% of his routes, he saw Porter. He had zero targets on those routes. Yikes. They prioritized Quentin Johnston. It makes sense because he was the perimeter guy. It would have been interesting to see what they would have done if Palmer had played. But, you know, Johnston is still a guy who offers appeal, but I don't know if I'm quite there to start him in any leagues at this point. Deontay Banks got lit up by Amari Cooper. He was on him 86% of routes. Cooper caught 7 balls on 11 targets for 86 and 2. Yeah, he liked that matchup. Pat Surtain was on Mike Evans, as we expected, and he did such a nice job. 68% of routes covered. Evans caught 1 ball for 8 yards on 1 target against Surtain. Really kept it quiet for him in this contest, and that is really, it's noteworthy, right? We expected Chris Godwin to be the better play. He ended up being the better play. It does not mean that you bench guys in season-long fantasy football against Surtain, because keep in mind, a third of his routes were not against Surtain. Like, you could put up decent fantasy numbers in those routes. Evans didn't in this game, but I don't want to say that you can't. That's the difference with season long and DFS, two very different games. Moving over to Christian Gonzalez, continuing to cover for New England, shadow cover that is, and he was on Garrett Wilson last week. Now, Rodgers kept going to him, 8 targets in Gonzalez's coverage, caught only 4 for 31. So Gonzalez did a nice job of keeping things in front of him. The touchdown was not in Gonzalez's coverage, but generally speaking, I say it's pretty encouraging that even in a tough matchup, Rodgers kept looking for him, because guess who he faces this week? Patrick Surtain. Good luck. Stephon Gilmore, partial shadow on Nico Collins. It wasn't the biggest outing for Nico Collins, but it was just a weird game in general, so I'm not going to overthink that one. They have a much better, like a fantastic matchup this week, all the Houston receivers. All right, here's an interesting one. So we saw DeAndre Hopkins get in the end zone, kind of a rebound game for him, a get-right game, and at the same time, Calvin Ridley was very quiet. Well, Calvin Ridley saw shadow coverage from Jaire Alexander. And unlike A.J. Brown earlier this season, Ridley did not get the better of Jaire. Only 1 catch for 9 yards on 3 targets. I think partially it explains the quiet day for him. Partially it explains why DeAndre Hopkins had a decent day. So keep that one in mind. Jaire Alexander is still really good. A.J. Brown was excellent in week one. That was the key there. We have seen J.C. Horn partially shadow this season, and he was on Davante Adams. Caught 1 ball for 15 yards on 2 targets against J.C. Horn. Another weird game that we didn't expect. But JC could end up shadowing a little bit this week as well, because of course that is Ja'Marr Chase in that Andy Dalton revenge game. Man, I can't wait for that one. That's for sure. But yeah, JC Horn, not doing a bad job. You know, he's been asked to shadow a few different times this season. Let me rip through those projected shadow situations. So that one is a potential there with him on Ja'Marr Chase. I have possibly Trent McDuffie traveling with Quentin Johnston. I have L'Jarius Sneed potentially on Tyreek Hill. So not only is it a bad quarterback situation, and by the way, as of right now, I really don't know who's going to start, but it does sound like Tyler Huntley has the edge. You know, you have Skylar Thompson banged up, and yeah, distinct possibility that it could be, Snoop Huntley under center for them. Not good for Tyreek Hill, nor is the matchup. Tonight, so if you're listening to this podcast before Thursday Night Football, Malik Nabers is off to an amazing start. On the other side of the field, the Dallas Cowboys do have Trayvon Diggs. They have used Diggs to shadow in the past. He's not an every week shadow, but it would make a lot of sense when you have a matchup like this where there's one clear top alpha receiver and then kind of everybody else to use your alpha corner in shadow. So we could see that matchup a good bit tonight. As I mentioned, Pat Surtain on Garrett Wilson. Gonzalez is going to shadow every week. So this week should be Brandon Ayuk. And this is interesting. So I do not expect Debo to come back this week. That would mean Ayuk gets Gonzalez. Ronnie Bell, if he is out there, you know, banged up too. Like whoever else is opposite Ayuk will get Jonathan Jones most of the game. That means Juwan Jennings actually gets the best matchup. If you want to face somebody on the Patriots, it would probably be Marcus Jones out of the slot. So not bad there. I don't think he's going to be even remotely close to what he did last week, especially if Kittle is back. But still, if you picked him up, you know, you could very likely use him again this week here. Otherwise, I don't really see any other obvious shadow situations as of yet, but I'm always updating the wide receiver cornerback matchup chart over at ftnfantasy.com. Each week, too, I update the shadow coverage matrix. So when I roll through the games on Tuesdays, I go back and I get all the numbers in there. So when I watch the games on Mondays and on Sundays and Thursday nights and Monday nights, I note any shadow situations that I'm seeing. And then I go back and I double check all the numbers and all the coverage stats and all that fun stuff. And then we put that up for you over at ftnfantasy.com. I think that does it for today. So tomorrow, of course, we'll rip through the remaining games on the slate. We'll give you a couple quick thoughts on Thursday Night Football as well, but really get you set up here for week four, final week of the first quarter of the NFL season. Things are, you know, maybe going to start normalizing a little bit here after a pretty wild start. Hopefully tight end gets back on track because it has been absolutely brutal so far this season. But in the meantime, just head to ftnfantasy.com. Go check all that out over there. And you can follow along with me on social media at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff and I'm out.